Welcome back. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Dave Popovich here with Rob Gehry. Rob, we're talking a little bit about dementia, how it's impacting and sort of the growing impact it's going to have on Canadian families, the Canadian economy even, right? I mean, dementia isn't the only issue that Canadians will have to be caregivers for aging parents on, but it's going to have a significant role to play, I think, in that. And Kim Brundrett, who is a collective impact lead for Dementia Network Calgary, has been good enough to stick around for another segment. Kim, just before we went to commercial break, I talked about my experience watching my mom as she progressed with her dementia, and I wanted to be the primary caregiver. My dad had passed away not long before that, so she was living with me. But, you know, it became very apparent to me that although I could probably take care of her physical needs, it was pretty apparent that I couldn't take care of her social needs. And so because she couldn't get out and she couldn't get around and I'm at work and the kids are at school, there was large portions of the day where mom really was just isolated all by herself. And in doing some research, you know, and just watching her go through that, that was not a good position for her to be in. And I would just like your comments on that, because I think there's a lot of guilt attached to the caregiving role about thinking about moving a parent or a loved one into a facility that, you know, it's not at home. And I certainly experience that. I can't be alone. I'm curious as to your thoughts around that particular issue.
Yeah, and I mean, no one wants to go into a home when you're young and you're active and you look at them and you think, oh, that's not where I want to be. But in many cases, it is the best place because they can provide that ongoing socialization, and isolation is one of the biggest risk factors for getting dementia in the first place, because having conversations, you really use a lot of different parts of your brain, and isolation just it causes a faster decline for people once they do have the disease. So it's important to understand that and to know that there probably will be a time when the person will need to move into some kind of congregate care living situation. And like you said, the guilt on caregivers is high, and it really shouldn't be, because in many cases you're actually doing the best thing possible for them.
That's the conclusion that I had to come to, and it was a difficult in my own mind. It was difficult to do that, right? You've got that guilty feeling about that. But I have to tell you, and for anybody that's listening that perhaps is going through that right now, my mom has never been in a better position. Like it's not going to get better. Dementia is not going to get better. There's no cure for it at this particular point, as we know, but she is safe and she is happy. Mm-hmm. And that takes a ton of pressure, right? So it's gone from that guilty feeling of maybe, you know, she needs this care to watching her flourish in an environment that's safe and healthy and, mm-hmm. and socially engaged.
Yeah. Kim, my personal situation is, I guess, slightly different in the sense that we have aging parents and in-laws out of province. And, you know, through the pandemic, you mentioned socialization being an issue. And we've been going through some other ailments of, you know, some acute stress and whatnot, and starting to wonder if it's just age or not. So the question that our family's having is, how do you start to go through to establish that baseline and understand that and have the conversation with your loved ones that, you know, we may have to look and to see that, because there are other ailments. So have you seen that as a roadblock?
That's hard, especially if you're out of province, right? Because you're not there to notice. And I will tell you that after holidays, so Christmas, for example, that's when the Alzheimer's Society are the busiest, because people go home, they visit their parents and they're like, oh, something's not right. Something's funny here. And that's, you know, when we start to see a huge increase in the number of calls for support. It is tough, and it's those things, it's not just memory, right? So, hey mom, can you make me a cup of tea? And if mom's kind of looking around wondering, I don't really know what to do with the kettle, or you're finding the butter is in where the laundry soap is instead of in the fridge, or some, you know, just some odd little things. It's definitely, those are definitely red flags. And sometimes it is very difficult to get an assessment depending on where they live. But it is, you can call the family doctor and just say, hey, you know, I'm not there, but I have some concerns. You know, please check that out for me.
It's a tough one though, again, depending on, you know, if the person you're thinking about is open to that diagnosis, right? As we talked earlier, it's that's such a tricky part of this, you know, this disease, and the stigma, as Kim had mentioned in the last segment, makes it, can make it very, very difficult for families and for the person that's, you know, suffering from this or affected by this to deal with it. Kim, I've got one last area I want to explore with you that has been helpful for me with dementia and all the research I've done. Communicating with my mom was an interesting exercise as she progressed in her dementia, because she became obviously less aware of what's happening on a day-to-day basis. And what, you know, she would tell me things that would turn out to not be true. And, you know, you couldn't, I don't know what to believe, what not to believe, that whole thing. But I, in my investigations, I came across a program called the Butterfly Program. You may be aware of it. It was developed out of the UK, but the notion of it is essentially that they're, you know, a person, as they progress further and further with dementia, becomes less and less logical and more emotional. And so you need to communicate more on an emotional level versus a logical level. And what I found is the conflict that I was having is I would, at periods of time, I'd be correcting my mom. Oh, no, mom, you don't live in Winnipeg anymore. You live here. But mom is convinced she lives in Winnipeg. And it was a terrible experience to go through. And what I realized in all of this investigation is now I can accept that wherever my mom is, I live where she is. Right? It's not about correcting her that she's not where she was born back in Winnipeg. And she didn't just have a visit with her mom, who's been, you know, gone for 50 years. It's about, well, great, how's Granny doing and what's going on? And then we have a much, much more enjoyable conversation, and it doesn't create a lot of stress for her. And that light bulb going off, or my investigation around that program, really was a godsend. But I'm curious as to your thoughts and your guidance for people who are experiencing that.
It's 100% true. We just say you need to meet them where they're at. Wherever they are is where you need to go. But that's hard, right? So my mom lives with dementia. My dad, it was very hard for him. He wanted to correct her because he did not want her to leave him, right? He wanted her to be where he is. So there's that emotional side for the caregivers as well, to say, no, I don't want this to be happening. Please, like, you're not there, you're here. And it's hard, but it is... relieves so much stress once you can kind of flip that switch and in your own mind, and just agree to meet them where they are.
Yeah. And I think maybe, because we're running out of time on this segment, I think we leave it there. But I think that has been the biggest change in my relationship with my mom, when I got it through my head and I sort of looked at the principles of that to, as Kim said, it's just be where they're at. And you can have a wonderful time, and you can explore the past, and you can relive wonderful moments. But if you get into a position where you're trying to correct them and bring them to you, it's going to be a very, very difficult, painful process to go through. Kim, thank you very much for all of the input and the content. I think this is all really valuable, and there's no question that more and more of us as Canadians are going to be touched by this at some point. And so education around this area, I think, is going to be critical. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we've been joined by Kim Brundrett, Collective Impact Lead of the Dementia Network Calgary. You go online and search them, and if you need some support and help, that you know, they can be there as part of the resource for you. We've got an upcoming seminar, my friend, that we've got to talk about. We hope that nobody's affected by this, but healthcare is part of the retirement journey, and it all has to work together, right? Income, growth, health, and legacy are the four important components to a very successful retirement.
We'll talk about all of those strategies coming up in person Tuesday, September 20th, 7 p.m. at the Four Point Sheraton Hotel. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Are you interested in whether or not you should defer your OAS payments until 70 or take it early? Stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.